to Ramakirti on the afternoon, Tuesday, on June 2nd. And early in the morning on Wednesday, June 3rd, he was woken up by immigration guards who told him that he was going to be processed and transferred to another facility, another detention facility in Louisiana, and that he was going to be deported. We were told by other immigrants in the detention facility that an altercation took place and that there was a use of force by the immigration guards, and that it was their understanding that he was told that, you know, no one was going to be able to help him now, not even Amnesty International. We were told by ICE officials that he was moved because he's going to be deported out of Louisiana shortly. So that's what we were told by ICE officials. What we know is that his early morning transfer after having spoken to us seemed to have a chilling effect on the immigrants that we spoke to that day, because there was a lot of fear that he had been moved and transferred quickly because he had spoken to us. And that, of course, was disruptive to our interviews because people were afraid. My understanding, again, so the people that we spoke to, as far as I understand, none of them were actually witness to what occurred. They had been told what occurred by other people who were witness to it. So what they understood had happened based on what they were told was that the immigration officials actually said to Ramakirti that, you are going to be deported and no one can stop the deportation now, not even Amnesty International. And again, this was something that was said, that was explained to us from people who had heard it from someone else. And that's part of the reason we really want to follow up on all of this, both with ICE officials and also with Ramakirti directly, and also with, speak more and more to people who are actually witness to what occurred on Wednesday morning. We certainly will follow up with ICE authorities. It's something that actually the door was left open on both sides to do that. There was interest on both sides for further discussions based on what we learned from them, but also what we learned from the immigrants that we were able to interview, as well as others who we speak to on the phone regularly. So that will take place. In terms of whether there'll be a report, we just got back, so I'm not sure whether that'll take place, but we will be following up absolutely with the authorities. And, to the extent that we've seen issues that give rise to concern, we're going to be addressing those and raising those and asking for resolution or, responses to those allegations. That is hard to say because we just haven't gone over all of our notes yet. And there were two of us, and so we did separate interviews. So we haven't been able to cross-reference each other yet. Like, this is all that's going to happen in the next few days. We spoke to 11 people in person over the last 2 days. We spoke to other people on the phone, and that will continue to occur. We'll continue trying to understand, particularly what happened while we were there with Ramakirti. Obviously, that was it was a significant event and did have did influence some of what occurred afterwards because people were afraid. So we definitely want to find out more about what happened, and we hope that, ICE will be cooperative with us in providing their perspective, and that we'll be able to, we'll also be able to speak to Ramakirti before, if he is deported, before that takes place, and the other detainees. Yeah, actually, the 11 people that we spoke to, none of them had attorneys. And that was one of the major issues, is that there's a real lack of access to counsel, both free or low cost and, at full cost. I mean, we're certainly concerned about, what took place, absolutely. And there's two things we're concerned about with him in particular, among others. One is that he seems to be being deported to a country that he has never been to in his life. I don't know if he speaks French, but I know that, he was afraid to go to Haiti because he thinks he'll be jailed immediately upon arriving there. He did raise that with the immigration judge. But was ordered deported to Haiti anyway. So we're very concerned about that. And we're also concerned, about what happened yesterday. We need to get more information about what happened, and we don't know his condition now. We don't know exactly when the government's going to move to deport him. I think, I'm trying to think what the people who are in the facility want people in the community to know. I mean, I think two of the main issues that just came out over and over again was that, you know, there was up to 800 people. When we were there, about 650 people locked up, but at capacity, 800 people who are in immigration detention in that community. And many of them, a lot of them, have no right to a hearing whatsoever, a custody hearing. And they are long-time, you know, they've lived here. Many of them have lived here almost their entire lives. They have spouses, and they have children, and they have jobs, and they have, you know, lives. And many of them have lives that aren't in Texas. Their homes are up in the Northeast, and they've been shipped down to Texas, very far away from anyone and anything that they've ever known. And there's a real need for counsel. There's a real need for legal counsel. And that was something that was expressed over and over again, because some of them have, you know, strong claims that they're not deportable, or strong claims that they perhaps are U.S. citizens, and they really need the opportunity to develop their cases and to understand better what the charges are against them, so they can determine whether they're actually, you know, they should fight their cases or not. And right now there's a real lack. I mean, there's very little resources available to them, and it's a terrible frustration, as you can imagine. Well, and I appreciate the sense that we're that powerful. Yeah. We're not. We had gone in to do some monitoring. We certainly raised the issue when we got there. We asked to speak with him. So, you know, we did what we could do. We're not, you know, we're not omniscient. We're not all powerful. We did what we could do, and we're following up. I mean, we immediately followed up and asked to speak with the officers who were involved in the transfer, you know, to see a written report on use of force, and to be facilitated in a phone call with Ron McCarthy.